This is Scenic Roots. I'm Ray Bassett. Thanks for joining us. Robert Winslow makes documentaries that ask the big questions about Chattanooga's future to spark civic engagement in tackling the answers. Last month, his series, Dialogues Chattanooga 2020, premiered at the Palace Theater, and recently he stopped by Scenic Roots. Robert, thanks for joining us.
Very happy to be here.
Tell me how you got into documentary filmmaking.
Well, I was looking for answers. I had never picked up a camera before I decided to start a web series called Southern Dialogues, and that was really my attempt to resolve political polarization in America. I've been wildly successful, as you can tell.
Well, you've made the films.
In that sense, I did everything that I set out to do from the start of the series, which was looking for windows in the changing landscape of the South into how the future of American society, culture, the divisions in our society and how we overcome them. I'm from Chattanooga, and maybe part of what set me off in that direction of wanting to find some resolution and ways to come together and ways to envision the future was really built into me by growing up here. And we all know the story, the Renaissance story, of this industrial boom town that bottomed out, and in a long slog of people coming together and sticking with it through the dark times, we're able to create a better future, and we today reap the benefits. So my Dialogues Chattanooga series really became an attempt to give back to my hometown and asking what that means for this next generation. Times are good now, and it's interesting how when you are at rock bottom and there's nowhere to go from up, it's almost easier to come together and think about what you want to see, whereas today there are so many going concerns. We enjoy this economic growth, and does that make it easier or harder to come together and try to address the big challenges around us?
And how does that unfold as the country as a whole is polarized?
I would like to think that we are much better equipped than almost anywhere in the country to do civics, to come together, to think about solutions or changes or work that we can do. But one thing that I came to that I think about a lot, especially in this last year here in Chattanooga, is something that I learned while I was doing that Southern Dialogues long investigation of political polarization from 2014, that there's the old adage that we all know all politics are local. And I wonder if one of the things about our current time is that that has switched, that all politics are in fact national or global. In a sense, people have big ideas, big narratives about what's going on, not necessarily in front of them, but in general, if you will, and our sense of politics and of our own relationships with our neighbor or over disagreements really are part of the global story that we are telling ourselves, as opposed to what we can actually be reaching out about and accomplishing right here, right now. It has been very difficult for me to really think of myself as a member of the media as I've been doing this, because again, I've only ever worked on my own. I've never had any budget or financing from anybody. It's a passion project that I've very slowly been able to translate into a living. And what I try to do in this immersive, long-form, conversational journalism that's really focused on, again, structural questions, ordinary experience, the way that ordinary people think about and talk about what's going on around them, it is hard to make a place for that.
But at the same time, people rave about podcasts.
Exactly.
So there's a hunger for long form. It's just we're at a time of political polarization and media fragmentation.
Podcasts blowing up is terrific. I never got on that wave. It's very important for me to root what I do visually. So as a filmmaker, as opposed to a podcaster. And I think that's important because when you're listening to a podcast, you can absorb information, you can get depth, and you can be doing a million other things at the same time. But I am inviting my audience to sit and focus and to take some time fully engaged with the subject and to think it through during and after as a tool for having better conversations in real life, being able to reach out when you might not know where to begin.
Tell us about Dialogues Chattanooga and how you make what you do approachable.
Well, I have a method of thinking of what is the big question, the real question, then finding my entry point to it. And then I just have the same conversation where I put that big question to somebody who's in a position to know or who is working on it over and over again. The end result is that the conversation that plays out then is able to be condensed and illustrated, and that's the finished video that you see. That's my whole process. In Chattanooga, the core question that I've been asking really for about the last 5 years now is that we know the Renaissance story, transformation in Chattanooga, and having created this new future for ourselves, I think unambiguously times are better here than they've ever been. But of course, we've come through this with really extreme economic inequality, racial disparity. And I just wonder, how did that happen so that we can learn from our own experience and apply it for this next generation? Now, I really believe in civic initiative and public vision. And again, maybe I believe in it because I am a Chattanoogan, but I think that we have a lot to learn from ourselves and a lot to teach the world if we stay committed. So what I'm working on right now is a series of infrastructure stories that are really inspired by posing that question, because through all of this time in the changes in Chattanooga over the last generation, it's been during the life of a few key public facilities. So we are able to know now the average age of school buildings in the county is 40 years. The county jail downtown was built in 1977. Silverdale facility was built roughly in 1984. And the wastewater treatment plant was the first sewage treatment on that site was in the 1950s. The oldest piece of equipment I saw there was from 1957. Then it's been updated, but say that it was rounded out in the 90s. And so now, as each of those public facilities is under a critical spotlight at the moment, most especially in the schools, of course, the school facilities process that's going on right now, I'm trying to cover that very closely. And it poses the question very literally of, what is our investment in the next generation? What is our vision for the next generation? And I think that we cannot miss this opportunity to have those real conversations. I think it's very important for people to step forward with the change, the positive change that they want to see in the community, and to find ways to come together and to make that happen.
And how are you focusing on the plans to redevelop, further develop in the downtown on the riverfront?
That's the least developed part of my entire program. I covered the Innovation District, which is obviously the center city, and the Chattanooga 2.0 initiatives, a lot of stuff that happens out at Enterprise South, industrial recruitment, the jail, the correction system, the education system overall, and a lot of other interest projects that have really come up that focus on, again, like work that is being done by ordinary community members to try to create that better future. But the physical space of the city, especially to do with the riverfront, that surely is a very, very important story going forward, and I want to be able to approach it. So if anybody out there has any ideas, please.
How long does it take you to do what you do?
Average 6 to 9 months to make any given episode, but there are projects that I followed for a year and a half before I felt comfortable making a final edit, final draft. And there are some that the entire time I've been doing this, over 5 years, just continue to come together. It's another thing about the times in which we live, that it's more difficult to keep a through line in your mind of, a year ago, this is how we got to this point. 5 years ago, 20 years ago, this is what led us to where we are now. But I think it's very important not to lose the plot. And thinking about where we could be 5 years from now, 10 years from now, that makes it a lot more approachable.
How much of this is all you, and how much of this is help from others?
I could not do an inch of what I do without people being willing to sit down and talk to me, being willing to introduce me. But there has never been a time where I've had support to do it. Most of the time that I've been doing this work's been with 2 and 3 part-time jobs or freelancing along the way. And I've gotten better and better at it and more able to professionalize. The most important thing that I really want to communicate, the most important thing that I have to put out there to your audience, is that I can't do it without you. I do screenings as often as possible. I take a collection at those screenings. I am actively looking for partners. I'm collecting a few partnerships that I'm very, very excited. I'm going to be doing great work over the next several months. But this really is my attempt to bring it all together. And I can't pretend that it's more than that.
And you had a screening recently?
At the Palace Theater, Chattanooga's only independent movie theater. I premiered the 2020 series, which is these three main stories about the school facilities, about the jail, local correctional facilities, and our sewer system. And each one of those is very much in the headlines. The education system right now is, of course, at the center of a lot of people's attention, and it should be. I pair it with two other major public facilities, the jail, which is the downtown county jail in Silverdale. And as far as I know, I am the first and the only filmmaker, local media, who's been given unrestricted access to those facilities for the purposes of bringing the public into the conversation. There's a lot of misinformation that's out there. A lot of people are very passionate about the issues when it comes to criminal justice and public safety. And I don't want to take anything away from that or away from the really difficult work that the corrections department does. But it cannot be left out of the conversation. It is too often out of sight, out of mind. And when you engage in the conversation around schools, so often what people will say is that if you don't invest in the schools, then it shows up in the jails. And there's a lot to be said there, but all the more reason to keep a broad perspective, a holistic view, if you will, as we go into these conversations. Because the needs are most definitely there. We can't afford to not make some kind of investment that approaches these big challenges. But I can't help but think that 10 years ago, if we had been talking about spending $260 million on the city's sewer system, that might not have gotten a lot of traction. And yet that is what has been spent so far. It's been mandated by the federal government. The city of Chattanooga is still in phase one of a consent decree. And it's becoming more and more of an open secret that the county is expecting their own consent decree, which will be at least that amount of money. And it's happened in the past that the sheriff's office has faced the possibility of being mandated to rebuild a jail. And in all of these different respects, again, like, we are at the point of making these major investments for the next generation in this community. And we have to be smart about it. We have to be real about what are the issues, what are the stakes. And the way that I've come to think about it, the choice is between make the investment or we pay the cost. And I am really not trying to say any more than that. I am inviting people to get the best information, to join the conversation, and to take a leadership role in what will make all the difference for the future here.
And how can people follow what you do online as Dialogues Chattanooga unfolds?
The best place to keep up with what I do weekly is on my Facebook page. That is Dialogues Chattanooga on Facebook. At dialoguescha.com, I publish the finished episodes and occasional updates. It's much more for you to be able to see the full web series. And then, of course, I do screenings. Both of those, you will see the dates for upcoming screenings. And I really encourage you to come and see it live. I present every time, give the latest as I'm able to keep up reporting on these stories. And I really do. I need all the help I can get. This is the time to be having these conversations.
All right. Robert, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Stringer's Ridge performs tonight at this month's River City Sessions here on this campus, the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga, starting at 7:30 p.m. in Chattuck Hall, right above our studios here at WUTC. Mike Gray is the founder of the monthly concert series, and Bob Boyer is director of UTC Performances. Mike, Bob, thanks for joining us.
Good to be here.
I, as always, am pleased to be here, Ray.
Welcome back.
We had to bring the kayak, but we got here.
And now that you've brought the kayak, let's talk about River City Sessions.
Let's do. One of my favorite subjects.
Likewise. Enjoy it.
Back here tonight in this building.
You better believe it. And we are excited. Actually, this is one of the better lineups I think I've ever had of local talent. We've got Stringer's Ridge coming in. Stringer's Ridge is a band made up of Tom and Fran Morley and Brian Hayes from playing the guitar with them and sometimes beating his feet on a piece of plywood. They mix a bit of Celtic, Irish, Scottish, and bluegrass tunes together. to come up with a set that will wake your feet up.
For people who haven't heard them before, how would they fit into the constellation of the music that they do?
They are called Americana, and they probably are one of the few groups that I would really use that as a descriptive, because their music does cross boundaries. It goes from Scotland, and as a matter of fact, Tom helped me track a couple of songs from Scotland all the way into the Appalachians, where they're now bluegrass standards. They play them in the traditional style, normally, of where those songs came from. But you hear familiar tunes and riffs woven through all of them. So I would call them Americana, even though they're pulling in from an international base.
Yeah, this is as roots is going to get.
Exactly.
How do you come across them?
Well, Tom and his wife, Fran, came to a River City Sessions about 2 years ago. And I recognized that they were strangers in a strange land. Walked up and introduced myself afterwards, and he said, well, I'm a fiddle player, and this is Fran, and we play music, and what would it take to get on here? And we talked about it for a little while, and before I knew it, they had a band put together. Brian Haynes joined them, and I was excited to see him join them because I had participated in several old-time jams with Brian, and I knew the quality of music that he was capable of. Shortly after getting to know them, I went to Scotland to record some music and found out that Tom had connections all over the globe. He was able to give me a couple of very well-known musicians' names and phone numbers to give a call when I went over there, recorded a couple, put them on air here in the States. He has played with several symphonies, including Chattanooga. He traveled in a well-known country band for a while. He played with a symphony in Florida for several years. So he has just a really broad range of experience to pull from. Plays with the new dismembered Tennesseans now. So we're just really excited to have him. And I don't want to go on too long about Stringer's Ridge without mentioning our other band. Nancy Siders is going to bring a friend of hers, Charles Gaston. Nancy has been my February band for 3 years. She plays a very, I call it, eclectic, country-influenced rock music. It's acoustic. She spent some time in Nashville, recorded a few albums, three, I think. Spent some time in Colorado performing there, and she's been back here, oh, I guess 5 years, 6 years. Her roots are in Suwannee. She was born and raised there. I will describe her music as reminiscent of a flat tire on a gravel road. I think you've probably heard that before and with some other entertainer. Come willing to be surprised.
And what a space for all these performers.
Still as nice a space as I've ever worked in or recorded in or anything. It's a piano recital hall. The acoustics are magnificent. And all we're doing with the sound system is making sure that the vocals are intelligible over the instruments, which come through loud and clear. It's just a great space. A couple of hundred seats, so you can come down front, enjoy the artists up close and personal, and just enjoy a nice, warm, dry evening on this Friday night.
And the acoustics, they just amplify that artistry.
They do. They do. The whole stage area is just set. I mean, it's designed for a single piano and works extremely well with small ensembles, which is, of course, our reason for being.
And beyond tonight's River City Sessions, mm-hmm. looking ahead.
Next month, we'll have Nicholas Williams. He is currently touring in Australia, so he hopefully will have some stories about his tour and a festival that he participated in there. Very accomplished folk musician. He will be joined by a couple of local people, Cannon Hunt, who has been on our show before and is well known in Chattanooga, will be also joining him here on our show next month. Then the last show of the year, or the last scheduled show of the year, which is in April, we're just finalizing right now, having four people here called the Hippie Chicks. They are opening or going to start a record label in Nashville called Hippie Chick Twang. Right now there are four people involved in that project. One lives here in Chattanooga, and so we were offered the opportunity to be one of their announcement, one of their three announcement shows. We're real excited about that. One of them has 400 songs which have been recorded. She's a well-known writer. Another one toured with a indie band that had a number one indie tune at one time. I'll also say that another one's father is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and she traveled with him for 3 years. And then the last one was a member of a sister's trio that performed out of Tennessee, East Tennessee, for several years. So that's April's show. We're looking really forward to that.
We're looking forward to it, too. Where can people go online for more information?
You can get to either of our Facebook pages, which would be UTC Presents or River City Sessions, if you're wandering around Facebook. The other possibility, of course, is the UTC Fine Arts Center website, which is utc.edu/fine-arts-center. And there's a button on that page as well that will take you directly to the ticket sales.
All right, Mike, Bob, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
When we come back, a sampling of Stringer's Ridge. You're listening to Scenic Roots. More after our news with Bill McLean. This is Scenic Roots. I'm Ray Bassett. And now, as promised, a sampling of Stringer's Ridge, playing tonight at River City Sessions here at UTC. Last month, the band stopped by our studio on Forever Bluegrass with Richard Winham and Cindy Pinion.
Thank you. I saw you over there dancing, Richard. Be careful of that collarbone.
It's too late for that now, I think.
Sorry if I helped slip it out of place. That's my fault.
For another track to play off our CD, I'd like to feature the song that Bryant sings, actually, Drill Ye Terriers Drill. That's one where we actually did have fun with some overdubs and put some extra things on it. I don't know what track that is.
Got it.
You got it? But there we had some fun and added harmonies and double voices and Franz playing several different percussion instruments, and it tells a fun story. So this is one of our songs instead of the tunes.
One, two, one, two, three.
In the sky and drill ye terriers drill.
Nice tune. And so I heard a little of side talk over here. Tell us a little bit about this tune, Brian. Why is it your favorite tune?
Well, I like it a lot because I teach physics at the Girls Preparatory School, and this is actually one of the first songs that we did together. I use it in a teaching situation, and one of the problems I set for my students when we're studying kinematics and free fall motion is if the guy is up in the air a mile up, then what is his hourly wage if he was docked a dollar for being up in the sky? So there's a physics problem for you there.
True story. Great.
Let's do another live set from our CD. These are three Irish tunes, so the Boron would be great. We haven't done any jiggy type tunes, so we're going to do it. We call this the Cat Ramble set. The first tune is called The Cat Rambles to the Child's Saucepan. The second one is called the Star Above the Garter. And the third is the Pipe on the Hob. Very Irishy tunes. One, two, one, two.
Stringer's Ridge, on Forever Bluegrass last month here on WUTC. Catch him tonight at River City Sessions on the UTC campus. The show starts at 7:30 p.m. in Chodock Hall. You're listening to Scenic Roots on WUTC. Thank you. I'm Ray Bassett. Thanks for listening to Scenic Roots. Our show is produced by Haley Solomon, Carly Dodson, and Will Davis from the studios of WUTC at the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga. Follow us on Twitter at scenicroots423 and email us at scenicroots423@gmail.com. Also, follow WUTC on Facebook and Instagram, and listen online anytime at wutc.org and the WUTC app. Join us again next time for Scenic Roots.